The Tea Health Show, your medical lifestyle podcast, brought to you by The Tea Clinic.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Mark. This is The Tea Health Show. In studio with me is the Elise van Aert. And today we're going to talk about polycystic ovarian disease, or PCOS. Now, this is a condition that afflicts about 10 to 15% of women through their reproductive years. It's the most common cause of infertility, but it underlines a lot of other metabolic disorders like diabetes and cardiovascular disease, as well as weight gain and skin problems. And we haven't even touched on the psychological part. So, Sister Elise, this is something that you and I see in practice literally on a daily basis. The scary part about polycystic ovarian disease is that it's common, but in 70% of women, it's underdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all. And this leads to quite a bit of problems.
Yeah, and I think I would like to start with what is the cause of PCOS, and is there causes and risk factors? Is it genetic? Is it lifestyle? I mean, there's so many questions around PCOS. People hear that they have PCOS, but they don't know what is causing this.
So, you know what, as much as medicine has progressed, we really still don't fully understand what the driving force behind PCOS is. You asked if there's a genetic factor. Yes, it's more common in women who has a mother, a sister, or a grandmother who had polycystic ovarian disease. What we do know is that it's got everything to do with dysregulation of the androgen metabolism and androgen hormones. So androgen hormones is the group of male hormones. So when we hear male hormones, we often go testosterone, but there are other hormones like DHEA, androstenedione, that also plays a role here. So your progesterone would give us DHEA. DHEA will give us testosterone, and that eventually gives us estrogen. But you know what? It's not only that there's too much of the androgen hormone that's produced. We sometimes also turn the androgens, for instance, testosterone, into its more potent and more active metabolite DHT.
What impact does that have then on the body?
And remember, DHT being a stronger type of hormone, male hormone, will have a dysregulation. So what we need to understand is that there is also metabolic factors that play a role here, like insulin resistance.
Wait. Before you continue there, do you think there's different types of PCOS? Because when we consult, we dig deeper and we get answers from women, but they don't have that overt symptoms of polycystic ovarian disease.
You know what? There are different types. To go into them in detail, I'm going to let you do that. Suffice to say, you have one of the main factors or main diagnostic criteria for polycystic ovarian disease is irregular periods.
Why? Well, I mean, it's because they don't ovulate. Polycystic
ovarian disease.
Yeah, means so, lots of cystic follicles, etc.
So the majority of women with PCOS will have irregular periods. And when we talk about irregular periods, it's not okay, you know what, I'm 1 or 2 days late, or, you know what, now it's 5 days, for next month it's 7 days. It's, I have a period, and suddenly it's gone for 2 or 3 months. Mm. And then I have 2 periods consecutively within a couple of weeks, and then it's gone again. That's an irregular period.
Yeah.
Okay, so the majority of women will have an irregular period, but then some will have normal menses, normal menstrual cycles. So I think, you know, what that gives us a differentiation is there different types. So I know that you did some reading on that.
Yeah.
Enlighten us.
So the one factor that they or classification that they have is the insulin-resistant PCOS.
Is this the Rotterdam one?
No.
Okay.
I don't know Rotterdam one. But it states that this type of PCOS is caused by smoking, sugar pollution, and trans fatty acids, or trans fat.
So it's got everything to do with insulin and glucose metabolism.
Exactly.
And then, because of all those factors, inflammation bound.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you
so
have
almost like an inflammatory.
There's an inflammatory PCOS as well.
Ah.
There's a pill-induced, the contraceptive pill-induced PCOS. This type is second most common PCOS. It gets developed due to the birth control pulse, which causes an ovulation.
Okay.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And then there's the inflammatory PCOS, is where hormones get imbalanced and androgens are produced in excess. Inflammation is caused due to stress, toxins, and inflammatory dietary diets like with gluten intolerance. Then the hidden PCOS, which I think we see a lot in our practice. This is a simpler form of PCOS. Once the cause is addressed, it takes about 3 to 4 months to get resolved. Causes of hidden PCOS is thyroid disease, deficiency of iodine. I didn't know this. Ovaries needs iodine. Do you know that?
I
didn't know that. Vegetarian diet, it makes you zinc deficient, and ovaries need zinc as well. And artificial sweetness.
It's basically nutritionally.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we need to take a look at the symptoms of polycystic ovarian disease and how we diagnose it.
Yeah.
I think if we go there, it would be easier to follow the conversation.
Yeah.
So when we take a look at polycystic ovarian disease, to make the diagnosis of this, you need 2 of the following 3 criteria. So the first one is an irregular period, like we've explained.
Yeah.
So now you have it, now you don't, you know, but the time between them vary greatly. So that's number one. Number two is signs of excessive androgens or male hormones.
Okay.
So you can do this in 1 of 2 ways. Either a blood test, but not everyone has access to the blood tests.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that go to government clinics, et cetera, complaining about periods, they're not going to do a blood test on
you. Yeah.
Okay. The other signs of androgen excess would be excessive hair growth on, for instance, the face, the lower abdomen, and hair loss. And when we talk about hair loss, it's not necessarily a receding hairline. It's thinning of the hair for women all over. Okay? So the signs of more male hormones.
What about acne?
And acne, you can put acne also in there.
Yeah, because it's not only in the face, it's all over the body.
Over the body.
Yeah.
And then the third one, and this is the one that few people actually have access to, is when we can demonstrate follicles in the ovaries, and it usually needs to be more than 20 follicles in one of the ovaries. Now, we usually do that with a transvaginal ultrasound. So if you have an irregular period with signs of hair growth, acne, weight gain, you most probably have polycystic ovarian disease. And the Rotterdam criteria, this is, there was a very big conference on fertility and menstrual health in that was held in Rotterdam. And all the experts from all over the world said you need two out of those three criteria. So if we look at symptoms now.
Yeah, what happens physically with these women? What do they present with?
So it the majority of polycystic ovarian disease cases happens in women between the age of 18 to about 40. Now, I want to say, in our experience, it starts occurring much earlier.
Earlier nowadays, exactly. Yeah.
And what physically happens is you have an inflammatory state in the body due to either excess weight or already existing insulin resistance. And that dysregulates the production of androgens or the metabolism of the androgens. Remember, the first androgen to form is androstenedione.
Yes.
And then you form DHEA. And from those two, you form testosterone. But they're fairly weak. I beg your pardon. So if that testosterone starts converting into the more active one of DHT, dehydroxytestosterone, we now start seeing too much male hormone and activity of this hormone. And it dysregulates ovulation. So you're making all these follicles, but they can't break out of the ovary. So you never form a dominant follicle so that the other follicles die off. Now, we know that when we make follicles, we make more testosterone. So now we start seeing exacerbation of hair growth, acne. The period becomes even more irregular. Why? Because you cannot ovulate, so therefore you don't have a regular cycle. And then you start seeing more inflammation in the body, making the insulin level higher. This dysregulates your lipid metabolism, so cholesterol levels start climbing. And you know what? Infertility.
Yeah. And they don't understand why they're gaining weight as well, and that's the insulin resistance.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. Dysregulation of the glucose metabolism.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
So when it comes to management of this condition, for instance, lifestyle changes remains cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
You have to manage the weight, you have to manage the inflammation, and you have to manage the insulin levels. So diet, exercise, weight loss, so critically important in managing this condition. I think we often overlook the effect that polycystic ovarian disease has on us or women from a psychological perspective.
I agree.
So if
and
we
the emotional part of
it. Yeah, you know what? When we started digging deeper into polycystic ovarian disease, I remember one of my friends at school, primary school. She was so much taller than all of us, all the boys. She was bigger than us. She was quite hairy, and she was hefty. Mm-hmm. Was a hefty girl. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We called her Millie Marley Montag. Because back then we had that program on. And she was a giant among us. And when I think about it today, I see, oh my God, she displayed back then when we were in standard 4 and 5, which is what now, grade 6 and 7.
Yeah.
You know what? She developed quicker than all the other girls in our group. Mm. She was always teased for being so much bigger than everyone else, not only in weight but in length. She was tall. She was the tallest girl in school. She was the tallest in our grade school. And now I know that she had polycystic ovarian disease because of this excessive androgen component.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? As we got older, we definitely saw the toll that it took on her from an emotional perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do they have to deal with these irregular periods that's often painful, but the weight, the acne, the teasing, the feeling self-conscious. So I really do think that this is a far greater impact on us, and especially on younger girls in schools, than we can imagine.
I also want to ask, do you think it impacts the female development? And I'm talking sexual development as well. I know of a girl that her one breast grew bigger than the other one. The other one didn't develop. I don't know if there's a connotation. And she's diagnosed with PCOS.
I wouldn't say in development in itself, one boob bigger than the other boob. No, I don't think it's got a role to play there. But what we need to understand is that because there's a dysregulation all the way from androgens, and remember, androgens, testosterone, forms estrogen.
Mm.
Estrogen comes from DHEA, which is an androgen hormone, and testosterone, which is a male hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from there. So, yes, if I have excess levels of these, it makes sense that I'm going to dysregulate my other hormones. There's still an imbalance. Mm. They're higher, but there's still an imbalance.
Okay. Okay, so what is the long-term health considerations with these patients?
So the biggest long-term health considerations is the metabolic side of stuff.
Okay.
So,
because that impacts everything else.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Cardiovascular,
so number one,
health.
These people have already has insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the insulin resistance, they're going to develop diabetes.
Yeah.
There's dysregulation in the lipid metabolism. So cholesterol level starts to change, and specifically HDL cholesterol and triglycerides, which are the baddies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that elevated cholesterol levels is associated with cardiovascular disease.
LDL, sorry. You said
low-density lipoprotein, okay. the bad cholesterol.
Bad cholesterol.
So if you take inflammation from the weight itself,
mm-hmm.
insulin, which is pro-inflammatory in nature, and you add that to a dysregulated lipid metabolism, your risk for heart attacks and strokes are far higher.
Yeah.
So weight, glucose metabolism, diabetes, lipid metabolism, heart attacks, stroke.
Yeah.
So, and then there is the psychological part that comes in there, which is also a long-term thing. You know, you develop depression and anxiety because of the acne, the weight gain, the teasing, et cetera, et cetera.
And the hormone imbalance.
The hormone imbalance isn't enough to drive anyone nuts. Yeah. Just ask any woman that's going through menopause. Yeah.
The other thing that will exacerbate your anxiety is infertility, because that's a big thing.
Yes,
because.
I was just going to get there. Yeah. So if we look at fertility for women with polycystic ovarian disease, on average, they take 2 years longer to conceive per pregnancy.
Sure.
So that's a long time. Mm. So you're getting married, you have polycystic ovarian disease, you guys decide to have children, and you're battling to fall pregnant. So that's going to put stress and strain on the individuals as well as on the relationship. If we take a look at the difference between the success or a successful pregnancy that leads to delivery, you see that we usually have a delivery rate of 80% in non-PCOS women, but a 50% delivery rate in women with PCOS.
Is it right through the pregnancy now? It's like first trimester, second trimester.
Yeah, I don't, you know what, I don't think there's specific data that
will specifically say
no, they lost it in the first trimester or the second trimester. I would guess that it would be in the first.
Mm.
Because during your first trimester, you need the progesterone to maintain the pregnancy, and you need optimal levels of estrogen. So I would say most probably in the first and the second trimester that you can have problems. Now, the interesting thing is when we take a look at assisted reproductive therapy, this is IVFs, in vitro fertilizations, etc., etc. Once women conceive about 80% of the time with those treatment, if they have polycystic ovarian disease. And the interesting part then is the success rate of a pregnancy ending in delivery is equal to that of women who had IVF for other reasons.
Okay.
So, you know what, IVF is a
good way.
It's
all about hormone regulation.
It's all about the regulation.
Okay, interesting. So what is the treatment options for these patients?
Treatment options would start with managing the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So managing the weight, diet, exercise.
Am I correct to say? When you have PCOS, you can't be healed. It can't be healed with PCOS. That you are stuck with this disease.
You are.
Okay.
It was interesting when I did some reading, you know, what Google gives you all these little, are you interested in this and this and this? And there was something that said, cure PCOS permanently. And I thought about this and I said, okay, this is a nice gimmick. I think we can manage the hormone dysregulation.
Yeah.
It seems to get better as we get older.
Okay.
Why? Because
you
don't need to ovulate.
Yeah.
So is it a disease that I need to cure? No, but it is definitely something that you need to manage.
Yeah.
And treatment consists of management of the signs and the symptoms.
Okay.
So number one would be manage the hormonal cycle. That's where we start.
Mm-hmm.
So either take the cycle away with some kind of progesterone contraceptive. to make life easier, especially if the periods are painful, and especially if you don't want to fall pregnant. And then the other one is combined hormone contraceptive to regulate a cycle.
Okay.
But, you know, but then you can't fall pregnant either. Then manage the overt signs of the hirsutism or hair growth. Do laser treatments, et cetera, et cetera. Cornerstone, weight management. You need to manage the weight, the inflammation, the insulin. So weight loss in itself, if you lose 5% body weight, your PCOS symptoms halve in severity. So it's always manageable weight, which is a problem until now.
Mm.
Because now we have new weight loss medications that will not only sort out the insulin resistance and the diabetes, but also reduce weight and therefore reduce inflammation and then help with regulation of periods, hair growth,
and lipid
acne,
metabolism.
Lipid metabolism, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know what? We're moving into a field where you don't have to do hormonal intervention to improve this.
Mm.
Then there is management of your insulin resistance. And here we look at the old drugs that we are so familiar with, the metformins, to increase insulin sensitivity in the tissue and decrease insulin levels. It still forms cornerstone of management. There's other medications as well. And here we're looking at the stuff that works on aldosterone. Now, aldosterone comes from progesterone. It's one of our steroid hormones. It's an integral part of the sex hormone cascade as it branches off from there. So manage cortisol levels and manage progesterone as well. So here we're looking at spironolactone, which we usually use for patients with hypertension as a diuretic. But, you know, it has a very beneficial effect on hair growth, on insulin, and a little bit then on the inflammatory weight conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay. It's very interesting. And I think what is important is that you need to see somebody that specializes in infertility if that's a problem that you need to address. I don't think our normal run-of-the-mill health practitioners can address that if they already addressed the normal symptoms.
So are you referring specifically to infertility problems?
Yes.
Or difficulty conceiving?
Both.
I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to see a fertility specialist. I think if our general practitioners and our primary care practitioners, our nurses in the clinics, et cetera, are more educated that polycystic ovarian disease is manageable without big interventions, can be diagnosed on signs and symptoms without doing a specific costly
specialized
tests or visualizations, you know what, this can be managed very effectively.
Mm.
Metformin is part of diabetic treatment. It's available in every single rural clinic. It forms part of the minimum prescribed benefits. It's cheap and it's effective. Counseling our patients on weight management and exercise costs nothing. So managing the weight, adding the metformin for the insulin resistance, and the symptoms will improve. Ovulation will become more regular. So,
Must it always be medical or pharmaceutical treatment? Can one use supplementation to improve certain condition or certain symptoms? I'm thinking of the dysregulation or vitamin D or zinc or berberine to manage sugar metabolism, omega-3s. I'm sure if you take that on a regular basis.
I think it plays a role there. As you said earlier, zinc, vitamin D, essential for ovarian health.
And lots of other.
Then you have all your other nutritional supplements. So I think it's an add-on, Elise, more than a standalone.
Okay.
But standalone treatment will always be managed for weight. Now, to ease this condition, there's so many family plannings. Again, every rural clinic has a family planning clinic day.
Yeah.
So this is where it should be picked up. Someone with irregular periods who does reach out can be managed by regulating their cycles.
Mm.
And then, you know what, once the cycle is being managed better, once they decide to do fall pregnant, it's most often easier. So for me, educate our public. What is this disease? It's common. Do you have it? And if you have it, there are things that you can do that are not costly, but doesn't take big interventions, and that can improve quality of life.
Do symptoms change over time?
Yeah, I do think that the symptoms become less severe as we get older.
As we get older, and as you get treatment. So how important is it to do a follow-up and monitor your symptoms and then adjust treatment accordingly?
Crucial. The moment that you start with managing any hormone dysregulation, you need to understand that a lot of things are going to change. You're not just changing one hormone. I always refer to it as the symphony of hormones.
Yes.
So think about it. If I listen to a piece of music, there's different instruments. Everyone has to play at the correct time, at the correct volume. If you're either too loud or fall in late, or if you're too soft, the experience of this whole piece of music decreases. So think of a piece of music, the symphony, as quality of life and well-being. Now, one of the hormones goes out of sync. It has a negative effect on how you experience wellness and quality of life.
Yeah. Okay. We spoke about early diagnosis and it's all on symptoms. Is there any other advice you can give for alternative therapies? And I mean alternative is including lifestyle changes, diet. I'm not talking medical interventions now. It's lifestyle, diet. Is there anything else that you can think of that will assist with this?
So there was an article which I came across at some point. No, actually, you came across it, and I was like, huh? On acupuncture.
Mm.
Can you remember that article?
Yeah. I actually have some of it, yeah.
Then there are your anti-inflammatory stuff that we all have in the house. Cinnamon is one of them. Curcumin is one.
Spearmint tea.
Okay, spearmint tea. I don't know where you're going to...
Inositol, type of vitamin B.
Yeah. Inositol. Inositol. So It all relates back to those three defining features. Number one, you have an irregular period. Why is the period irregular? Because you have too much male hormones that stimulate follicles, and follicles stimulate more male hormones. And that leads to irregular or complete lack of ovulation. We call that anovulation. So it's managing the cycle, getting the hormones so that you can ovulate regularly. Treat the signs of excess androgens. So, and this we do with managing the weight, managing the hair, etc., etc. Here, medication does play a role. It's metformin on the androgen has an effect, not only on the insulin resistance, we'll get there. Spironolactone will also have a role to play there. And then it's the insulin resistance and the weight issue.
Yeah.
So manage the insulin resistance. Lower carbohydrate diet, higher in protein, regular exercise, optimal nutrition, B less vitamins, stress. Zinc,
managed.
Iron, magnesium, vitamin D, and manage sleep and stress levels and the anxiety. Treat the acne, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So this is a manageable condition. It's very common, underdiagnosed in the majority of cases, 70% of cases, it's never diagnosed. But it's something that if you inquire about and that you are knowledgeable about, this will work well. Because, for instance, if you want to learn a little bit more, if you want to go and read up on this, just Google. So, dear friend, and here I actually advocate Google because I want people to become educated. PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And look for an article. There's a wonderful, very easily readable and understandable article on Healthline.
Mm.
It puts it everything into its perspective. It's quite easy.
And it's a reputable
website. We often refer to Healthline as well. Okay.
I think I've got, that's all my questions.
Okay. So to summarize, polycystic ovarian disease, it's common. You present most probably with irregular periods, the signs of excess male hormones like hair growth, acne, there's weight gain. Often we have insulin resistance, and this leads to problems with fertility or difficulty in conceiving. It underlines other metabolic conditions like diabetes and cardiovascular disease itself. And if you are battling with this condition or know of someone who is, this condition is easily treatable. It's not expensive. You don't need very invasive procedures or tests, can be treated at your local clinic if diagnosed. And if you want to know more, call us at the Tea Clinic on 010-824-1393. Until we see you next time, which will be next month sometime, we wish you all the best in health.
That was the Tea Health Show, empowering you with knowledge. Download all previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform. The Tea Health Show is brought to you by Tea Clinic.